I wanted to explore this evening two passages and what emerges from them in the sugya of Kamsar Bar Kamsar, both which speak about two very powerful stories that speak about martyrdom and suicide in the context of martyrdom. And both of these stories are somewhat famous. They appear in a number of passages. One of them appears in the Kinos very briefly. The other story is better known from its incarnation in Hanukkah. And the first story, which is the first source on the sheet, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel V'itema Rabbi Ami V'Ami Lava Masni Satana Masa B'dalan Meos Yeladim V'Yelado Shenishbu L'Kalam. There were 400 young men and young women who were captured and taken into captivity to be used for prostitution. Hirgishu ba'atzman lamahi misbakshin. They realized at some point what was going to happen. Amru, they said, im anu tovim bayam, if we drown in the sea, anu ba'am l'chayim haba, if we cast ourselves into the sea to prevent ourselves from being used for these purposes, will we have a share in Olam Haba? Darash lahem ha-gadol shebahem, the wisest or the greatest amongst them, expounded the following pasuk. Amar Hashem mi bashan ashiv, ashiv mitzulas yam. God said that I will bring back from the Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea. And he interpreted, mi bashan ashiv, I will bring them back from the Bashan, mi bein shine arye ashiv, those who were eaten by lions, I will bring them back. Mimitsulos yam, ilusha tovan bayam, those who drown in the sea. Kevon shishamu yaldos kach, when the young women heard this homily, kaftsu kulam v'naflu l'toch hayam, they all immediately jumped into the sea and presumably drowned. Nasu yeladim kavachomer bi'atzman, the young men drew a kavachomer for themselves. And they said, if that's what the young women who were, it would be more normal for them to be taken to prostitution, if this is the way they responded, then onush eindar kenu lakach, which is far worse, and in halachic terms far worse, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so, af heim kaftzu l'tochayam, they too jumped into the sea and they drowned. V'aleim akosav omer, ki alecha horagnu kol hayom, nechshavnu kitzon tivcha, that we were killed over you all the time. We were like sheep brought to the slaughter. That's the first story. Now, the interesting thing about this story is that we talk about not just martyrdom, which we expect. Some may be familiar with the Gemara in Sanhedrin and in Psachim, that there are gimel averis that ayihari gayaber, the three to avoid three sins, one has to martyr oneself. But normally we assume that's a situation where the non-Jew or the oppressor, even if it's Jewish, will kill the person. But here, the children actually take matters into their hands and they commit suicide. The second story, perhaps a more standard, mostly a standard story of martyrdom, is the story of the woman and her seven sons. Now, this story actually exists in the Book of Maccabees. It's told with respect to Hanukkah, where Antiochus brings the woman and her seven sons in and wants them to eat pork. Here, it's told in the context of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara, continuing from the previous passage, trying to understand what does the reverse ki alecha horagnu kol hayom refer to, that we were killed for you, God, all day. Rabbi Yehuda Amar zo isha v'shiva baneha. This is the woman and her seven sons. Asua kama lekame de kesar. They brought the first son in front of the emperor. Amrulei, they said to him, plach lavodas kochavim. They said to him, worship Avodah Zarah. Amar luhu, he said to the king, kasuv b'torah anochi Hashem elokecha. Anochi Hashem elokecha, I can't worship Avodah Zarah. Abku avikat luhu. They took him out and they killed him. And then the Gemara says they brought the second one in. And he quoted another pasuk, lo yielocha elokim achem al panai. They killed him. They quote the third one in, and he said, it's written in the Torah, Zoveach, lo Elohim yocharam. One who worships, one who slaughters to a foreign god will be killed. So he refused to worship, and the emperor had him killed. They brought the fourth one in, and he quoted the pasuk, lo sishtacha vela elacher. Again, from the Aseret HaDibros, that one is not allowed to worship another god. Apku avikatlua, they killed him. The next one quoted the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. They took him out and they killed him. Then he brought the sixth one in and responded with the pasuk from Voeschanan, V'yodata Yom Vashevosa Levavecha, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Vashemayim Imav Ala Aretz Mitachas Ein Oth. That there's only one God, and they took him out and they killed him. And then, six lines from the bottom, Asyu Ala Idach, they brought the last one. Amrule, they said to him, Plach Labodas Kochavim, worship of Avodah Zarah. Amar Lahu, he said to the emperor, Kosuv Batora, it's stated in the Torah, Es Hashem Hemarta, Vashem Hemircha Hayom. And what does this mean? Kvar Nishvanu LaKadosh Baruch Hu Shein Anu Mavirano So BeKelacher. We will not, BeElacher, we will not swap God, we will not exchange God for another God. Va'af Hu Nishba Lanu She'eno Mavirano So BeUmacheres. That he will, God has promised that he will not swap us for another nation. So Amar Le Caesar, the Caesar says to him, that the emperor says to him, Ishte le gushpanka vigochen shakwai. Okay, I don't want to make you violate, you won't worship Avodah Zarah. But let me just throw my ring down on the ground and you'll bend over to pick it up. Ki hecha delem rukaba ala harman ademalka. So people will say he accepted the order of the king. No, he accepted the king's authority. So just make it look like you worship Avodah Zarah so I don't look bad. So Amar Le, the young man responds to the emperor, Chaval alach Kesar, Chaval alach Kesar, woe to you, emperor, woe to you, emperor. Al kvod atzmacha kach, you're so worried about your own kavod that you can't get these seven children to bow to your authority. Al kvod HaKadosh Baruch Hu al achas kama v'kama, how much more so am I concerned about God's honor that not for one moment should I make it look like that I would be abandoning God and worshiping another God. Apku al miktale, they took him out to execute him. Amra lehu ime, his mother said to the emperor, Yahavuhu niali v'in shake porta, please allow me 1 minute, let me just kiss him. Amra lo, she says to her son, Binai, bini, lechu v'imru la'avram avichem, go tell your, when you go to Shamayim, go tell Avram Avinu, your ancestor, Ata akadita misbeach echad. You made only one akeda. You tried. Va'ani akadati shiva misbechos. And I made seven akedos. Afhi also legad. Even she too, the mother went up to the roof. V'nafla umesa. And she fell. And nafla really means she cast herself off in her anguish and she died. Yatsa sabas kol v'amra eim habanim semecha. The mother of the sons is joyous. A very powerful story. But there is one problem, particularly in the first story, and perhaps with the behavior of the mother in the second story. There is another very famous tale of martyrdom, perhaps more famous, is the story of Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan. Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan disobeyed the Roman order against teaching Torah, and he decided he was going to do it anyway. And the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah in source number 3, that after a certain person died, Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, and all the nobles in Rome came to the funeral and they eulogized him, a great eulogy. And uvachazarasan mitzaul Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan, shaya Yosef osip getora, umakio kihilos beravin, v'sefer Torah munach lo b'cheko. They found Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan teaching Torah in a public setting with the Sefer Torah in his lap. They took him out, they wrapped him up in the Sefer Torah, they wound chavileis moros, vines around him, and they set it on fire. And then they brought wads of wool, and they put it on his, they soaked them in water, put it on his heart to slow his death. And as he's dying, his daughter, they said to him, what do you see? And he said, Gilyon nisrafim v'osios parchos. I see that the parchment is being burned, but the letters are floating up to heaven. So his student said to him on the fifth line, the underlined portion, Avata psach picha v'tikonis b'cha'esh, why don't you open your mouth and let the fire consume you? Why do you have to prolong your death? Why do you have to suffer? Amar lahem, he said to them, Mutal sheyitlenu misha nisana bal yechbal hu ba'atzma. Better that the one who gave the soul should be the one to take it back, but I should never actually do anything to kill myself. And so the Rishonim all comment on this passage Tosos and Avodah Zarah and Tosos and Eret Gemara and Gittin, they all comment that there seems to be a contradiction between the two passages. According to Rabbi Hanina ben Tragyon, according to the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, so a person, while there are situations that a person must commit an act of martyrdom, must allow oneself to be killed in order not to violate Torah law, nonetheless, you're not allowed to kill yourself actively. You're not allowed to commit suicide. You're not allowed to even hasten your death. Rabbi Hanina ben Tragyon was a man dying anyway, but he wouldn't even do anything, a single action, in order to hasten his own death. That would, in effect, be considered an act of suicide, being mekayer of his death. So the question then is, how could the 400 children cast themselves into the water? And one could ask even about the mother, although that's a more complicated question, how is it that she committed suicide? So Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosos, two different Tosos, and he provides actually two different answers. In Avodah Zarah, source 5a, Tosos quotes, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Dehecha sheyireim pen yavirum ovdei kochavim la'avera. If a person is afraid that the non-Jews will force him or her to violate the avera, kigona yidei yisurim shel yuchal lamod behem. They're not going to kill the Jew. They're going to torture the Jew until the Jew gives in. And if you torture people, you can get a person to do almost anything through torture. Oz hu mitzvah lechabel biatzmo. So Rabbeinu Tam says, normally when we say yehari v'yal yavar, a person should be killed rather than violate Torah law. You have to martyr yourself. Normally you allow the non-Jew to kill you. That's only when the non-Jew is going to kill you if you don't worship Avodah Zarah. But if a person is afraid that the non-Jew is going to torture them and it's going to force them to worship Avodah Zarah where they will not be able to avoid it, they won't be able to resist, then it's a mitzvah to kill oneself. Ki hahi de gittin, and he points to the passage we just read before from Kamsa bar Kamsa, gabe yeladim shenishpu lekalon shehitilu atzman layam. Like the children who were taken into captivity for the purposes of prostitution, that they kill themselves rather than be forced to submit. Tosus in Gittin has another answer to this question, not really in contradiction to the first, but he adds in source number five bays at the end, the ode, the al karcham hayum anan osam velo hergosam. In the case in Gittin with the 400 children, Satosa says it's not that the non-Jews were going to kill them. They were going to physically force them into prostitution, and there was nothing they could do to stop it, short of killing themselves. It's not that they were afraid necessarily of being tortured, but they actually weren't going to be given a choice. It would be one thing if you're given a choice, I'm going to torture you or I'll kill you, that maybe you'd have to accept the torture. But here, they wouldn't even have a choice. But what emerges from both Tosusim is that in a situation where a person is not going to be able to avoid violating the Avera, either because they will submit under torture or because they won't have a choice, then Tosus says it's a mitzvah l'chabel bi'atzmo, it's a mitzvah to commit suicide in order to violate one of the Gimel Averas. That in itself might be shocking, but there is even a more shocking passage. First, the Ritva comments on Avodah Zarah. He writes, source number 5, Gimel. He says, Kasuv b'gilyone atosus, towards the end of the first line, Shaya omer Rabbeinu Tam, Dehecha shemisiyare shelo yachrichuhu, Lavar aldas, mutar lachbo biatzmo. Rabbeinu Tam claimed, as we just read, that if you're afraid that they're going to force you and you're going to submit and violate and commit apostasy, then you're allowed to kill yourself. V'hachi isa b'medrash, there is a source, Ksiv achas timchem l'nafsho seichem edrosh. So that's a famous pasuk that's used in Parshas Noach to teach us the prohibition of suicide. Mikan asharash la'adam shelo yachbo bi'atzmo. You're not allowed to kill yourself. Yochal afilu kisha'u melech Yisrael. You would think that even a situation like King Saul, who did kill himself to avoid the Philistines capturing him and torturing him and publicly humiliating him, you might think that the prohibition of suicide also applies there. Perush, and this is the way the Ritva explains, Shechaval bi'atzmo mipnei shehaye misra yare shema yaviru al-das. Saul wasn't just afraid that they would humiliate him, he was afraid that they would force him, let's say, to worship Avodah Zarah. So you would think maybe the prohibition of suicide applies there as well. Talmud lomar, ach miyeh. Ach is a miyut, it's an exclusion. So a situation like Shaul Melech Yisrael, there is no prohibition of suicide. De b'chi hai gav nashari. If we stopped here, it might be shocking enough. But now the Ritva quotes, Umikan lomdim lishchot hanorim bigzeros nehavaras hadas. We learned from this, or Rabbeinu Tam wanted to learn from this, or the Balei Tosfos, that one is permitted to slaughter one's own children in order to prevent them, in effect, from being baptized. Ad kan matzasi b'gilyon ha-tosos. The Ritva said, that's what I found in the copies of Tosfos. But he says, v'heim dvarim shetzrichim talmud v'iyun gadol. The Ritva says, it really requires a great deal of analysis. And it's not clear whether he means killing oneself, or I suspect more likely, slaughtering one's children. But he says, ela shekvar ho-razakim. The Kama Chacham was already moreh, v'shamanu b'shem gedolei tzarfas, shehitiru kein halacha l'maisa. We have heard that the French gedolim, the Balei HaTosfos halacha l'maisa permitted this. Lest one think this is just hyperbole, I draw your attention to a very heart-rending tshuva, a powerful tshuva found in the Maharami Rittenberg. And someone asked the Maharami Rittenberg this question. Yehudi Echad, source number 6, Sho'al es Hamaram she'yichyeh, im tzaruch kapara. The Jew asked the Maharami Rittenberg, do I require kapara for the following? Al sheshocha ishto v'dalit banov, b'yom heregra b'koblinis ir hadamim. He slaughtered, he killed his wife and his four children on during presumably one of the crusades. Kikach bikshu, his wife and children begged him to do so. Ya'an ra'u, because they saw ki yatzah ketzef lefnei Hashem, that the plague had come out before God, the crusade. V'eschilu ha'oivim laharog b'nei al-chai ha'ne'eragim ha'kiddush Hashem. They started to kill Jews, started to martyr Jews. V'gamhu ratza laharog es atzmo b'misasam, he wanted to kill himself as well, but he never got to. In other words, he killed his wife and children so that the crusaders would be unable to forcibly baptize them. And he was going to kill himself, and somehow he was saved. He presumably wasn't baptized, but he never got to kill himself. And now he's asking the Maharami Rittenberg, do I need kapara? What do I do? And the Maharami Rittenberg responds, because of lo, Lo yodana shapir my idun day. The Maharam says, I'm not sure. Ki vada yahorig atzma wa yichur Hashem rashai lach babi atzma. The Maharami Rittenberg says, there's no question one is allowed to commit suicide in order to avoid forcibly being baptized or apostasy. The Omar, he quotes the Medrash we just read, yachol kishaul tamulomar ach. The Omar, in addition, he points to the Gemara of the 400 children. He quotes the whole story. The mother also lagag, she too went up to the roof and many examples like this, says the Maharam. There's no question one can commit suicide. But to kill others, to prevent them from violating, from apostasy, you have to find a proof. But he says, Umishaul ein raya. He quotes that the fact that David killed the Nar HaMaleki, who killed Shaul, he says you can't prove from that it's prohibited to kill somebody else. He explains why. But then if you skip to the next paragraph, he writes, Mihu, Davar Zeh, Pashat Hetera. The matter actually is widespread that it's mutar. Ki Shamanu Umatsanu, we have heard and we have found, Shaharbe gedolim shayushochatim esbenei vesbenaseim. There were many gedolei Yisrael who slaughtered their own children, like another Akeda. V'gam Rabbeinu Kolanimus asa kein bekina hamascheles amarti sheumimeni. In our kinos, you have read that Rabbeinu Kolanimus composed. We have reference to this fact. So now the Maharami Rittenberg says, "V'nivra li lahaviraya lahatir." I think I have proof to permit. Just as we know that suicide is permitted in the context of martyrdom, and it's learned from the pasuk "V'ach estimchem l'nafsho seichem edrosh," so hachinami nema da horeg eschaveru kiddush Hashem mutar. You can also conclude about killing someone else for kiddush Hashem that it's permissible. Why? The bahu kruxiv. The end of that pasuk says. It says, "V'ach estimchem l'nafsho seichem edrosh miyad kol chayad rishenu u miyad ha'adam Miyad ishachiv et roshas nefesh adam. The second part is about murder, not about suicide. The ach, the resha, the kra, the ach, the exclusion that permits it in the context of martyrdom, ka'i akule kra debasre. It applies to the entire verse, suicide and murder. And he explains the reason why David killed the Nara Maleki is as he explained earlier. And now the Marami Wurttemberg says, Umisha Matino Kapara, anyone who tells such a person who slaughtered his wife and children that he needs kapara, that it wasn't the mitzvah, any such person is motzi laz al chasidim harishonim. He is slandering the early pious ones who did that and suggesting, impugning them. Because this fellow did it out of his great love of God. He killed those who were most precious to him. They also implored him to kill them. Someone tells you to blind them, you're chayav for pain because they don't really mean it. They meant it when they asked him out of their love of God. And then he says, "V'tzur Yisrael yinkom nikmasenu v'nikmas torasenu v'nikmas dam avada v'ashach v'mehev yameinu." God should avenge our vengeance and all of the suffering that has been placed upon us. Mayor the Rabbi Baruch. It's a tshuva l'marami Wurttemberg. Not everybody happens to have agreed with this particular position. The Beis Yosef quotes at some length a discussion about this issue. But I would ask the following question to all of us about the Marami Wurttemberg situation, about the 400 children. I would ask, we are so far removed from that world. But I would ask, as a community and as individuals, are we willing to sacrifice for God in that way? There are three themes when you look at the seven psukim that are quoted by the seven sons to the emperor in refusal to worship Avodah Zarah. There are three elements that I think speak to what creates an individual and a Jewish community that are willing to truly sacrifice for God. Three of the verses are about faith and belief in God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first one, the fifth one, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and the sixth one, V'yadat Hayom V'ashev Osel Ovecha Ki Hashem Hu Elokim. There's an element of emuna. Avram Avinu was a mamin. And the question is, are we so committed that we have so much faith that we are willing to sacrifice for God? Or are we like the children in Hazinu, Banim Lo Emun Bam? Children who are not faithful. The second element is mitzvah, is commandedness. Three of the children, the answers 2, 3, and 4, simply refuse to worship Avodah Zarah because God said so. Lo yelucha Elohim achir al panai, zoveach la Elohim yacharam, and lo sishtacha bela acher. They had a powerful sense that we worship God because we are commanded to do so, not because we enjoy it, not because we are socially religious and are part of a community, but because we are commanded by God. And finally, the seventh child, quoted perhaps the most interesting pasuk. He speaks about the relationship that we have with God, a personal covenant we have with God. We have promised to God that we will never swap him for another God, and he has promised to us that he will never swap us for another nation. This speaks about a relationship, about an ava that we are supposed to have for the Ribbono Shel Olam. I would say that the greatest challenge that as individuals and as a community we face are in a sense these three elements. So much of our life today in our tzibur seems to be what we might term social orthodoxy. We're part of a community, that's why we do things. But the Gemara here is telling us that that's not what creates genuine commitment and sacrifice for God. And I think that we would want to ask ourselves whether or not we have trained ourselves and we teach our children, we educate our children as parents and as mechanchim, really to these three central pillars of what it really means to be a Jew committed to God in all respects. Number one, do we teach what really emuna is, truly a faith and a belief in God? Number two, do we teach our children that we do mitzvos, Torah mitzvos, not because they're always fun, not because they're always easy, but because kasher tzivani Hashem Elokai, because we are commanded. And then the last question, perhaps is the most striking one to me. I've often noted that sometimes in our circles, in particular modern Orthodox circles, it's almost as if God is a dirty word. We don't talk about God. We never talk about, we talk about halacha, we talk about mitzvah sometimes. We never talk about God. We never talk about a personal relationship with God. Or the ability, as I would say, when you look in the Shulchan Aruch, the opening line of Shulchan Aruch, of Aruch Chaim, is that the klal gadol that a person is supposed to walk through life is, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samed. We're supposed to walk around with the sense of the presence of God, the presence of God everywhere, which means a God that we have a relationship. We walk in the world and we can feel his presence. And I think that what the Gemara teaches us in Gittin is that in order to create a genuine commitment that we are willing to sacrifice everything for God, and we are rarely called upon to do that, certainly in our world, nonetheless, to create such a relationship, these are in fact the three central pillars. We have to be willing to give everything for God, but in order to put ourselves in such a place, we have to strengthen emuna. We have to walk around with a sense that we do Torah mitzvot first and foremost, because kasher tzivani Hashem Elokai. And finally, we need to foster for ourselves, for our community, for our children, a sense of the presence of the Ribono Shel, that God is not this thing there who gave us a Torah and left the world, but that we live with Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samed.